Pickaxe.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Hello, my friend. My name's Sean, and I want to end your suffering. No, not like that. With meditation in my new podcast, Mindfulness for Gamers. Each episode, I'll take you through how mindfulness can help you to feel less anxious and frustrated and put you on a path of happiness, all through the lovely, grimy lens of video games. So make time to level up your mental health and take the first step on your spiritual skill tree. Join me and subscribe to Mindfulness for Gamers right here, right now.
Racer,
welcome to the Hat Chat Podcast, episode 59.
Yeah,
I'm Chris Trott.
I'm Ross Hornby.
And I'm Arik Smith.
What?
No, you're not. No, that's absolutely
say,
not true.
Say that again. What did you say?
Arik Smith.
Oh, Arik. You sound like a 7 year old.
That's what people say. They can't. They find Alex. Remember finding certain like sounds really hard, like right. Allah, you know, it's quite hard.
Arik.
Me as a kid, nightmare. No, I never called myself Arik. No, that was thankfully nothing I had a problem with. But I do remember finding certain things hard to pronounce.
Okay. Well, thanks, well, Arik, for that.
You're
Arik.
Welcome.
Who did that jingle up there? That Fingal, sorry.
Oh, yeah. Ed Hodge, thank you kindly for being our Fingalmeister for today. I don't know if that's a good word.
Cheers, Hodge. What, Fingalmeister? Why not? Fingalmeister could work.
There's a much longer version at the end, so you can really choose your and customize your car and pick which license you want to take your car out on whilst listening to that music.
It does sound very video game, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's great.
Classic 90s games. Well, I guess
apologies if you're hearing fan noises in the background today. We are currently going through a heat wave in the UK, and we're all blasting some fans. So apologies. Yeah. I hope you can all tolerate that.
Have we all melted yet? We haven't melted yet. It's almost over. It's finally broken. God, it's
I think this is the last day of the extreme weather.
Yeah. Extreme for
we
us.
Say extreme. It's extreme for the UK, okay? Everything's relative.
Yeah, of course it is.
I know we're probably going to get some emails and stuff or some comments that...
Have you sat through 50-degree weather? It is worse in other countries, but it's hot here. We don't like it. Damn it.
Yeah. We aren't used to it. And the body actually adapts to your climate. So if you're born and raised in a certain climate, your body is used to that climate.
How long does that take normally? Because when I'm on holiday, I'm a sweaty mess from throughout.
Probably longer than a week or two, Ross, I imagine.
Right, yeah.
I think you'd have to live there for quite some time. And even then, I think people do struggle if they stay out there for an extended period. So it's very common. Anyway, just give us that, okay? Just be empathetic. Thank you. It's really hot. It's really, really hot.
Hot boys.
Today, I'd like to remind everyone that... you know, we're doing these weekly, so I hope you haven't missed any so far, because we've been bashing them out every week. Our patron has been lovingly receiving them ad-free. Nice. So if you want to support us on Patreon, like our wonderful patrons, then head over there and you won't have any interruptions. With that said, I think it's time for them to reveal what they voted as our first hypothetical of this week.
Okay.
Alex Smith, I will give you the honours if you have the question there
to read out. Cut it.
I do.
Cut the
ribbon. Bing, bang, bong. Our first Patreon hypothetical this week is the question, what futuristic thing from a sci-fi movie or book do you really wish existed now?
Now, I will say that the polls were very, very close this week with the questions I picked out of our long list. So these first and second ones are actually really close together. Anyway... What immediately springs to mind without much thought?
Was it the time turner I was thinking of? Yeah. Something to do with time, either that or a device for time travel. And obviously there's so many various different forms that comes in you know, sci-fi films and books. I'm not sure which device would be best. Maybe, I mean, the time turner, is that from Harry Potter? Is that where she uses the little time turner so she can study more and learn?
Which technically is a fantasy book and not a sci-fi book.
Oh, right, okay, my mistake. Jesus. What's Bernard's Watch? Is that sci-fi or is that
Is it a sci-fi
fantasy
show? That's an interesting question.
I'd say that if you had to choose one, it would probably fall under sci-fi. Yeah.
All right, what's Doctor Who's little stick do? What does that do?
God, everything it needs it to. The automatic stick, plot fixer.
That's just a sex
what
toy.
Do they call it? A Deus Ex Machina or something?
I'm not sure.
But that's what Deus, yeah. So Deus Ex Machina, I believe, is taken from old Greek or Roman plays or something where they would like roll the next plot element in, and it would be like somebody would like appear from the stage and be like, "Oh, don't worry, I'm the god of you know, saving you." It was a plot device, as far as I'm aware. Okay. Let me have a look where it came from.
Another thing I would think of would be the Star Trek.
Sounds like you're avoiding the question.
The teleporter from Star Trek, where they just immediately transport down to a planet.
I went straight to Star Trek as well.
That's
pretty
nuts.
Because I don't watch
teleportation is incredibly useful, although it's seemingly super dangerous. I mean, the balls you'd need to get into a machine that literally deconstructs your matter and reconstructs it somewhere else. Yeah. I'm not exactly sure what the made up science, but the actual science is behind teleporters in Star Trek.
No, because I think it's called something specific. It's called prestiging. Yes.
What, nice. Duplicating a person?
Well, you basically duplicate on the other side, print it out, and then
the original copy
deleted.
Is destroyed.
The original copy is destroyed instantaneously. Nice. So
smart.
AKA prestiging. Okay. Really good film, by the way. Watch The Prestige. Don't go any further into it. It's a good film if you haven't seen it.
Have you only recently watched it?
I thought you were talking about
COD. I saw it ages ago, but I think it's a really good film. But it's one of those films where you can't really watch it many times because once you know, you know. But
yeah,
well, I think there's a lot of detail though. Like the second watch is interesting, knowing the result. You can pick up on all the little hints and stuff throughout. Mm. Anyway, my sci-fi thing would be the Mass Effect Relay.
Okay,
right.
That would be pretty cool. It's essentially the same thing from Mass Effect, right? You know, that big thing that catapults ships from like one galaxy to another.
Right.
That essentially just enables us to travel really far distances. And obviously with the Mass Effect Relay comes the fact that there was an alien life form that made it and a galactic civilization. I just love the idea of us just stumbling into, oh, yeah, no, we're already established here. Welcome. Here's all the awesome technology to get you up to speed. Here's how to fix climate change and all that. Do you want to go on the Mass Effect Relay? Here you go. Here's a spaceship. We've already made it for you. So that sounds nice to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that would be cool. I mean, for me, the specific sci-fi thing, probably just with my lightsaber.
Lightsaber would be cool. I'd be terrified to wield one, but I'd like to see one wielded by an expert.
I feel like
end up being used in like a kebab shop or something.
I think it would be used in like construction or like it would be used in the most mundane way you could imagine. You know, it'll be literally you know, used for digging tunnels or, you know, cutting
heat element
stuff. So yeah. Who knows? But
are they hot? Are they meant to be hot?
Well, I don't know if they are hot.
Yeah,
but
kind of. Well, in the scene
they have them very close to their faces, don't they?
Where Qui-Gon Jinn and Obi-Wan Kenobi are breaking into the final blast door to get to the juicy core of the Trade Federation ships. Remember that? And they it's in the first film in The Phantom Menace when they plunge
out the hole, right?
He plunges his sword into the door. I don't know, to cut out the mechanism. And it gets very hot. But it does seem like there's pretty much nothing they can't do. So I do love a lightsaber.
Okay, lightsaber's good.
I feel like we're still touching on things sci-fi wise that are things that have always been things. Like I imagine even like 200 years ago, it's not changed is what I'm saying. It's always the same thing. It's like teleportation or like space travel or something like that. I feel like all the other small things that Star Trek had, like the little intercom thing on the pin, we've achieved that essentially. The tablet in your hand, we've achieved that. I feel like, are we running out of sci-fi stuff?
Well, I don't know, because I mean, when you consider things like, I guess Black Mirror is kind of sci-fi as well, right? So, like, there's a load of stuff in that. But then when you watch Black Mirror, you kind of then think, I don't actually want that. You know, I don't want to have a chip in my brain that records everything. But then some people would find that really useful. And maybe that is a good thing for some people. But, yeah, it's hard to say, isn't it? Hard to say what would be good.
I think that I always think about how personal air transport is going to change a lot of things. Like the ability to say we all had like the effectively a quadcopter
that we could,
that carries us around. Because first of all, this is going to happen. I think, you know, what one day we're going to go, God, it's so weird that we use like the roads all the time in between all our houses. How crazy. We can just fly, like go up 100 feet and then a straight line that way. And we'll get to that place in a couple of minutes. You know, like how weird will that be? Equally, houses and where people buy houses will completely change, because you'll be able to buy a house on the side of a hill wherever somewhere and commute to work in 30 minutes. So I do think that this is going to be a very interesting... I mean, so other brands are available, Trot. But yeah, Starlink is currently allowing people to...
don't go buy Starlink just based on what I just said.
Because there's satellite internet's been around for a long time. Like, you know, lots of people in rural communities use satellite internet. Yeah, it is shit and expensive.
So I'm hoping other competitive ones rise up and then clutter our skies.
then lock us in our planet because we can't escape because of all the sky clutter. But no, I do think personal air transport is probably one of the biggest ones that could happen.
It's within reach, really.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think another interesting thing would be to be able to take your consciousness and store it somewhere, or you know, keep hold of it somewhere, or store your memories. Mm-hmm. I guess if you were like, because if there was, I don't know, if you had a degenerative disease or something, and you were like, well, you know, it'd be nice to actually not lose my mind and actually be able to store that in some way.
Defrag it, repair it, fix it up. Yeah,
And obviously there are elements of that in, you know, I don't, well, again, is that fantasy? There's, I'm trying to think of
altered carbon.
Yeah, the thing in the back of your neck, which is you essentially.
Yeah.
And you just get put into a new shell essentially.
Yeah,
but this does raise that question though.
You could live forever.
That paradox of, is it you? Is it truly you? If you're a copy, how does your consciousness become?
Yeah,
the data that's been stored in this thing. Are you aware that you're going to wake up there?
I guess it depends on how you're going to use it, or how. Yeah, because obviously, if it was a case of more of, I want to just be able to refer to things and I've got it all there and I can access it, like you can access your PC now. You can grab a file and be like, oh, that's it.
It's like accessing memories.
So if you'd be like, again, this is basically that thing in Black Mirror, right? Mm-hmm. But if there was a way to be like, oh, that was a really good day, I'm going to store that. Bam. Again, I think there's something in Harry Potter like that as well, which he stores in his little balls, and Snape has them in a little pool. That's, again, I know that's fantasy.
Stuff. Black Mirror, I think, doesn't take it far enough with the whole recording thing, because essentially it's like a show, right? It's like a 2D image recording of from your eyes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd like it to be a full immersive experience, like VR. Record it, and then you get to walk amongst the memory again, pause it, rewind it, smell the stuff that you could smell. Mm. Like, it records everything using all your sensory data, not just a 2D image. They weren't going far enough, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I guess, I guess it's being able to record that space with your own eyes. Like, if that's possible, then sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. If they could, being able to sell it as well.
I mean, imagine being able to sell experiences like that. So, say you were able to more profoundly download and upload feelings and experiences, and you could literally just give that to somebody else, and they could spend 20 minutes just like jumping out of a plane without having to jump out of a plane.
But why would the first thing that used it be porn? You know? You know that the first breakthrough would be like, hey, look, now you can just be with all those porn stars. It's like, what? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, that's the first. Okay.
I guess you're tied into, like, that person experiencing it, right? It's like a pre-recording of, you're not actually changing anything there. You're just experiencing and walking around it. Unless they find a way to make it interactive and you can manipulate it within the constraints of the memory, that would be interesting.
Well, we can't. So, I mean, there's almost certainly a way to tap into the mechanism that allows us to dream. frankly. I mean, like, you know, whatever allows us to dream so vividly is clearly something that we would be able to manipulate to one day, I suppose. I mean, I'm sure there's
like
a lot
Inception
of variables.
Style.
But
manipulation.
Yeah,
using
and
our own
crafted on the fly.
Our own ability to imagine sensory inputs and outputs like we do in dreaming, which feels real. I see no reason why one day we wouldn't be able to work out how to control that process and therefore create extremely realistic experiences in our own heads.
Yeah, maybe we're looking at it from too much of an analog software, kind of like we need to like re-render stuff.
Yeah.
When in actuality, your brain can be the processor.
Yeah,
and fill
pretty
in
much.
The blanks.
But I remember thinking about like things like The Matrix, where you could just learn anything in a second. That kind of like the idea of that
cool
being like,
tech.
Oh, now I know Kung Fu. Now I know this. And then you go into this space that doesn't feel virtual because it just feels like your world. Like that would be like amazing. So like effortless.
Sounds like meat.
Kind of
tastes
knowledge
like
at the fingertips. You can just be like, yep, I want that. I want that. I can, you know, get all these guns here at this time, do all this stuff. It's just, that's quite an interesting idea. But
again, it goes Black Mirror.
Again,
it's like,
very Black Mirror.
Everyone's
just
going to be meat sacks, just wanting to be in their perfect environment.
Yeah,
eating the best food every day.
Yeah,
and not getting any bigger because you're not actually eating anything for sustenance. You just got pipes and stuff going into your real biological body, just feeding you nutrients.
But there was something appealing about that. I think there's something appealing about that kind of just if you know, you're like, well, shit, I can do anything. You know, once Neo knew, he was just like, you know, a machine. He could just dodge bullets and stuff. And but all the other plebs were stuck
like
in the machine. They're just,
is it like playing Minecraft when you just turn on creative mode and everything becomes a bit more boring because
I
can do anything. I've lost like the purpose of stuff. Because I'm not working for anything anymore. I can just fly wherever I want. I can beat up people. Yeah. I can jump off stuff. I guess you get bored after a while.
On a mental level, I imagine it would. Yeah, it wouldn't be as fantastical as it seems because you are then like, well, what is the point to anything? Because, you know, that's why I guess you wanted to be in the real world more, even though it was really shitty and horribly run by robots and stuff.
I think the technology is not the limit. It's our biological brain which handles it. The tech is like, I don't think we'd physically, psychologically be able to cope with such creative freedom. Whereas our physical bodies are tied to our evolution and where we are and have adapted to this existence rather than the ability to do anything and be a god.
Literally, yeah.
Might go insane.
I think they don't know whether they covered it in the films, but I mean, this might just be random. I might have made this up. But they were going to talk about how human beings were used as essentially like a computer or a processing or a power source or something like that by the machines, and that's why the machines kept them alive. But they didn't bother addressing it in the films because they felt like it was just like a level of detail that wasn't really necessary. But like there was a reason behind
they grow
it as well,
them and then harvest them.
Yeah.
Something like that.
It was something to do with the harvesting, and because
we created them as well, and then they took over as like a Skynet kind of scenario.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's happening now with Tesla. I'm sure Tesla will one day will sit in the, you'll be inside the car and then obviously it's self-driving and you'll just be this little blob eventually. It's just get taken.
You can feel the seat trying to squish you down slowly. Yeah. It's like, what are you trying to do? Stop trying to put me in the battery compartment. Stop it. Stop trying to plug me in. God damn it. I'm just trying to drive. Get my Starbucks.
No, so here it is. So The Matrix, each pod containing a human battery, generates biologic energy and neural processing power that collectively and combined with nuclear fusion is used by the machines for power.
Oh, okay.
Right,
nice.
So the brain processing is necessary.
Something like
that.
And they also didn't want to kill them, apparently. The machines didn't want to kill human beings.
Well, like you say, if they're dead, they can't do any of that brain activity, which I assume is a energy they can harvest.
Yeah,
because it seemed like the robots
that
only got annoyed when people were outside of the Matrix, so that I guess they mess stuff up. So they're just like, well, we'll then send those floaty
the illusion,
tentacle drone things,
And then you suddenly have that place with Morpheus. What was that place that they all like tried to do a rebellion?
Oh man, there's
that crappy little underground town.
It's like the core or whatever it is. I can't remember.
Zion. Thank
you. And they all have those crazy underground parties.
Yeah, they're just going insane. I mean, I guess you would if you just realized that all of humanity is over and we're being harvested by big spiders, robot spiders. Mm-hmm. Holy crap.
What about, anyway, just a quick one, the portal gun.
Yeah, go on.
That would be cool.
That How would cool be would a portal gun
be in real life? That would be amazing. Because I guess that covers the teleportation thing to a degree. If someone was like, all right, I've got a portal gun, I'm going to just do the orange one here, and you do a blue one here, bam, you're in, you're through. I think anything that speeds up those mundane parts of people's lives today, just of, you know, sitting in traffic or whatever, or trying to get somewhere fast without actually, you know, ruining the planet, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, it would be awesome. But then again, would that change our perception of value in a way? Because like, if you could instantly just like go to Bora Bora and not experience like that feeling of going all the way around the planet, it would feel like a tiny world, wouldn't it?
Obviously, it depends on the cost of such a device. I have no, like, obviously, there would always be a cost to it, right? But
true.
Either way, I mean, I'm sure it's more of a time thing. We'd get time back, right? That's time we haven't spent 10 hours on a flight somewhere or whatever.
Maximizing.
Who knows? We could be more progressive as a society. Who knows?
You could attend more meetings. Perfect.
Just think of the people that had to spend months crossing oceans to get anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, I
certainly explore the depths of the ocean. On a quick
portal gun right down there.
Suddenly just... Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, you would probably die immediately. Yeah, you immediately would. Crushed from the
You'd
pressure.
You'd have to build a vacuum down there.
Yeah.
A vacuum-sealed dome. I've got a quick thought experiment before we go on our little break.
Oh, okay.
Actually, this is not a quick one at all, but it just reminded me of it when you like said the portal gun. Because imagine like firing it and it eventually hits the surface and then you could instantly walk through that.
Fire at the sun.
When you look out into the stars in the sky, right, you're essentially looking back in time because of the way light travels and it takes time for it to reach us. What if there was a huge mirror out in space, really far away, and then looking in that mirror, you could see, if you had a telescope, looking at that mirror, you'd see dinosaurs.
Right, okay,
on
right.
Earth, because you're looking back at time. You could position it a certain distance away to look back at our own history. Mm-hmm. How crazy is that concept?
It's like, I guess it depends on how fast that device travels. If it travels faster than it would have to travel really,
capturing
really, really
the light, right? By looking at it, by observing it through a telescope, we're seeing that light hitting us from that mirror from millions of years ago, essentially.
Mm. But in order to place the mirror...
It would already have to exist.
Well, yeah, or you'd have to move faster than light, which currently is impossible. That would work.
It's already out there. And we're that's a mirror planet. We can see our own dinosaurs.
It's a planet that is a mirror.
Let's say, for example, there's a mirror planet, like you're suggesting, a bloody 100 million light years away or something like that. So we can look at it, and then the light that's... But the thing is, the light from our planet, or the... Somehow, the image of our Earth, as you're suggesting, is being reflected in this mirror. The mirror would also need to send the light back to us on Earth to see. So it would have to be in this sweet spot where the dinosaurs that existed on the planet and the reflection of that had traveled all the way to this mirror, 100 million light years away. And then that information would then have to reflect back to us, which would take another 100 million years. So like 100 million light
halfway
years.
Halfway point.
Like,
basically, yeah,
you'd have, if you found a halfway point and got the whole period, like if we were right in the middle of the time period, you might see some dinosaurs on this mirror planet.
Mm-hmm. Well, dinosaurs are around for longer than humanity. Like we exist for like 1%
of Earth's
existence, less than 1% of Earth's existence. So it's more likely we're going to find some dinosaurs than we are humans, or like go back to Roman times or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I just found that an interesting experiment. Assume that we found a mirror that's at that sweet spot. How cool would that be to just be like observing our planet from millions of years ago?
That'd be very Stellaris.
You could always hop in a TARDIS, set the portal gun in a specific place, and then travel back.
Come right
set
back.
The orange
That's
one.
Right.
Bam! You've then got a little door that goes back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or you could use the TARDIS because you've got it. So.
Yeah. Amazing. There we go. Thanks, Doctor Who. Fixing all our problems with your sonic screwdriver.
It's a really great
TARDIS.
Show. Honestly, guys. Woo! Spend a lot of time watching that one.
Not as great as this ad break coming up. So here we go. See you on the other side.
Hey, all. I'm Dr. Alok Kanoja, but the internet knows me as Dr. K. I spent 7 years studying to become a monk and then became a psychiatrist. I want to tell you a little bit about my podcast, Healthy Gamer GG. where we combine my clinical experience of practicing psychiatry and sprinkle in years of experience as a meditation teacher and sort of focus on spirituality. So on the podcast, we're going to approach very common everyday problems from each of these lenses. And what we really do well is blend science and spirituality to create the most accessible solutions for people for their everyday problems. So check us out at HealthyGamerGG on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple.
Wow, wasn't that an experience?
Yeah, I love ads.
An even better experience for those that don't need ads on our Patreon, for example. Thank you, Patreon supporters, for being on our Patreon and receiving ad free. I hope you bought all the products. Anyway.
Whatever it may be.
Let's move on, shall we? Do we have any funny news, or this week, have you seen anything or observed anything?
Well, obviously, the Olympics is starting soon. There was, I keep seeing this, and this came up last Olympics as well, about the condoms. I don't know if you heard about this, about the fact that they hand out like a shit tons of, like, thousands and thousands of condoms to the athletes. But I found an article.
To the athletes.
Yeah, to the athletes, just, you know, to promote safe sex, etc. But this article I found says that they've been handing them out, but then they're warning people not to use them at all, obviously because of COVID. Mm-hmm. So it's let me see what it says. It's a look but so don't touch rule is what the organizers have said, which seems very odd. Why give them the condoms at all? I don't know why they can't even get their own condoms. But they ordered 160,000 condoms to be handed out the Olympic Village. But because of COVID-19, Tokyo organizers want participants to refrain from any kind of intimate physical activity outside their sport. Mm-hmm. That means those condoms we gave you, don't use them, at least not while you're inside the Olympic bubble. They're calling it. But it's basically to raise awareness about HIV and AIDS and stuff. So essentially, it's got a good message behind it. But it just seems odd to just be like, why is this always a thing? 160,000 condoms. Why can't they all practice safe sex? I don't know why someone has to go around handing them condoms. Someone to your house and say, you go, there's a load of them. Just practice safe sex. Go on.
It's an interesting situation, right? Because you're getting essentially like the peak of humanity from all different parts of the world, all seeing each other in close proximity.
Yeah.
And they're all fans of being fit and healthy. And they're seeing loads of other people that are equally minded, very driven, very motivated. You're literally like filtering down your Tinder approvals to like, these are all the perfect match for me.
It's going to be a fun fest.
And I imagine they're all very young. They're like their peak fitness as well.
Yeah.
So I can see how that happens.
So that's an advertisement for becoming an athlete, ladies and gentlemen. Right there.
If you enjoy that sort of thing, you strive for fit perfection, then, you know, become an athlete, an Olympic athlete.
Yeah.
Simple.
Because there were rumors, because basically they've all been given like these small like cardboard framed beds, and people were saying that was to prevent them from having sex, and the bed would like collapse and stuff, which is apparently a complete lie. It's literally just a case of it's they can get rid of the beds easy. It's cheap, and they can recycle
disposable.
It, and it kind of makes sense. So on that side of things, it's great. But very odd that people thought that would prevent like athletes from being able to have sex, like. Like
imagine
a cardboard.
The night
you
before,
have to do it in a cardboard bed.
Well, imagine the night before having to do like, you know, a pole vault. You're sleeping on a cardboard bed.
Yeah,
it's like I think they get a
small mattress, but it's not ideal, is it?
Christ, I miss my memory foam mattress at home, which I've been sleeping on.
God,
jeez.
Yeah, no, beds. I mean, yeah. I mean, they're meant to be adults, right?
Yes.
I guess. But then, you know, these are also people that have had to do nothing but sport probably their entire lives as well. So I don't know. Who knows how worldly they are?
Well, it's weird because this Olympics is going to be a bit of a mess because of the COVID situation. There's loads of people dropping out left, right, and center. So I don't know how, like, I don't know what that means, really, because obviously there's a lot of people there who could be setting records and stuff and could be competing, but people have to drop out because of,
Contacts, mainly. Like there was, I saw that like one of the British athletes had to drop out simply because they'd had contact with somebody who had tested positive.
Yeah,
and that was it. Like they didn't have a positive test themselves, but they were like, right, we've tested this one person. You've had a contact. You're going to need to isolate, and they had to drop out of their event.
Very strict.
But yeah, man. It's sad because obviously these people, their entire lives revolve around these things. So
this is their purpose. Yeah,
you want them to, you know, feel and worthwhile.
So much
will
change in 4 years. Well, is it 4 years? Is it every 4 years?
Yeah, 4 years. Yeah, I think,
like I mean, you know, physically a lot can change in that period of time. Mm. So like, you might not be at your best. Which, yeah, it's pretty shit.
Not to mention all the all the civic work that Japan's had to do. You know, like all that building and like all the stuff they built for these Olympics is a big deal, and you don't want to get away.
Yeah, that's why they're pushing it, because obviously they've been told they shouldn't really post it at all. But you know, the cost of things is their
initial cases as well, because they're trying to get it to go ahead. Yeah, do you remember when they were like hiding the data and like under-reporting COVID? A lot of countries were doing it, but they were like really under-reporting their cases, because it's like, if we start saying that there's a breakout here, no one's going to come to the Olympics.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But apparently, I was just looking at a website, the average age of an Olympian, split by gender, men 26 and a bit, so 26 years old, and women 25 and a bit. So they're actually older than I thought. I thought they'd be 18, 19. But they should know better and bring their own condoms, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But I guess it's a good thing that they're being handed them, just in case.
True. Yeah. Amazing.
I mean, there are more stories. I've got a story about some retired prostitutes here, if that's of interest. Amsterdam prostitute twins retire at 70 after 50 years, and 355,000 men.
Oh,
they counted.
I don't know how they've counted, whether they have. I mean, you'd think you'd lose count. You'd think you would.
Nah, they had good bookkeeping.
Yeah, they were pretty quick on the books there. But they're finally here we go. Louise and Martin Falkens, both 70. So they're finding it a painful struggle.
Did they change their surname?
I don't know, but it really works, doesn't it? Are finding it a painful struggle to go on working in Amsterdam's notorious red light zone. They claim to be the oldest prostitutes in the Dutch city, and last year starred in a documentary film named Meet the Falkens, which, you know, I'm sure you can watch in your own leisure. Mother of four, Louise, admitted, though, that her arthritis means some positions are now too painful. Mother of three, Martine, complained about a drop in custom. Only one elderly man addicted to his weekly S&M sessions remains a regular, she said. So she's still cracking on. That's pretty good at 70.
I mean, this quote coming up.
All right. I couldn't give him up. He's been coming to me for so long, it's like going to church on a Sunday. Thanks, Martine, for that.
More like coming on.
Oh, yep. Jesus. So yeah, there you go. That's a little story about them. That's all the article is literally just saying that these two 70-year-olds are retiring.
I'm surprised.
So if you're upset about that, you missed your chance. 50 years you had.
I'm surprised there's only one regular that comes to them.
You'd think there would be. I mean, maybe they're going to get more
considering the
requests
internet,
now.
The internet, it makes it seem like lots more people are into certain kinks than I imagine people are willing to actually pursue in real life.
Mm-hmm.
They're willing to, like, you know, that morbid curiosity of like going into a weird place on Pornhub or wherever, looking up some strange category and having some regret afterwards, versus actively seeking it out on the red light district of like, oh, you know, I'm like an 18-year-old lad and I'm really into 70-year-olds, especially twins.
Gosh, 18 and 70.
And now you can't get it because, you know, they've retired. Arthritis kicks in.
Like, a lot of people are sad about that. I mean, I reckon that, you know, if there's enough requests, maybe they'll come back, you know? They've probably got another, 15, 20
what,
years?
For like a
reunion.
Glory tour.
A glory
the
tour,
reunion.
Yeah.
We go around and see every single one of our past customers.
Yeah.
I'll be there for you.
Most of them aren't around anymore.
Most of them aren't. You're right. God.
God.
That's a long time.
Geez. That's a long career.
Now, did they work together or were they just in the same place?
You asked the question.
I imagine so.
I wonder if there are requests to have both at the same time or I don't know, but maybe they did at some point. But the twin thing is always quite a weird thing. I don't know why people want to basically be in a kind of an incest triangle.
Mm.
No?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It clearly happens.
I mean, it's a fantasy. So you don't tend to apply logic to them as much.
Sure.
It's doing the taboo thing, isn't it?
It's a fantasy until it's a reality.
Yeah. Right. I think most people faced with the reality of it, like you say, there's only one reoccurring patron there that visits them. I think most people have that realization of like, actually, no, you know, it's just, I was just in the moment and just felt like, oh, this is naughty.
I was just on a stag do and I saw her in the window and I was like, wow, look at that silvery hair.
There's two of them.
I've got to get in now. Let me in.
Bang, bang, bang. Hello, I'm lonely.
I didn't book a hotel. I need somewhere to stay too.
You've got some
I'm just tired. We don't have to just cuddle if you want.
We could just, honestly, please. 70? Oh, actually, that's my kink.
That's quite a common thing, right? With the Louis Theroux documentary in particular, revealing it, that there's most people just want comfort and just like someone to just confide in and have that personal attachment to.
Essentially, I think, it's a
I mean, that's like really, human beings, isn't it, really?
Which is a little sad, because it's like, I'm just lonely. I have to resort to a sex worker to get my sort of close connection with the person I'm interested in, or the gender I'm interested in.
I suppose so.
Sad.
Sad.
But hey, if you wanted that personal connection with a 70-year-old with their twin, no longer available.
No, they are retired. They have gone. They are no longer in action. Mm-hmm.
My sci-fi technology would be a button to remove arthritis.
We really need to sort our arthritis out.
Don't worry,
we
fixed it. You can go back to work.
You can
continue.
Why
did this guy invest so heavily in arthritis cures? He could have fixed so many more things with this technology. Just the arthritis for me. Now where are those twins?
I've got a reason. I've got a mission.
They're my inspiration, my muse. And he's just got a picture of him up on the wall as he's in his lab.
No, I don't know. I don't need reverse aging. I just want the arthritis gone. Mm-hmm. Oh my god! Holy shit!
Yeah, that's the funny-ish kind of just things I saw.
It was a little on the depressing side.
Or sad, I guess. But sad because you know they're retiring. It's sad.
They had a long, fruitful career.
Yeah, it's the 355,000. That number is striking, isn't it? When you see that number, you're like, wow. That's, you know, but then you think, that's also probably
active?
Quite a good sum of cash if you think about it.
How long were they? Yeah.
So let's 50 years. 50 eight, years.
50, 300,000, right? 350,000 divided by 50.
Maths.
That's 7,000 people a year. Divide that by 12, 583 people.
Yeah. A month?
No.
I'd imagine it's quite front loaded, though, in terms of amount of custom. As
that's
the
crazy.
Age does creep up, I imagine it might have, So the 7,000 a day, I don't think they would keep that up for 50 years.
That's 20 people a day.
Is it,
on
wait,
average?
What? 20
no,
people a day?
It can't be right. Have I done my math wrong?
Well, I mean, is that, wait, is that
Yeah, no,
right?
19.45 people 20. A day. 45. Yeah, almost. It feels like a lot,
can't
doesn't
be
it?
Right. I feel like they've overestimated their amount.
No, I think it's mixed. I think it's shared between the two. It must be.
Right.
That's
so more
still
like
eight
10.
People a day.
8 people a day, which I think is
to 10
possible. Yeah. I mean, do you think you can crack 8? Could you crack it out 8?
They
times
must have
a day?
Done a ton of orgies, is all I'm saying.
Yeah. Exactly.
Also
swinger parties.
That's not necessarily that could be anything. That could be anything from the flick of a nipple to, you know, full sex.
I've got 15 more people to get through. Could you just quickly
flick this guy just wants me to flick his nipples for 20 minutes. Okay. All right. Here we go.
Form a queue. All right. You get the left breast. You get the right.
Time is, yeah.
Flick and go. Flick and go.
I think that counts. I think that counts as an act. So, yeah.
That would have to be the most used thing that they do on a daily basis. For them to maintain like 20 people a day or 10 people a day, that's insane. No wonder they got arthritis.
Well, yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Christ.
You think they'd be quite physically fit as well, throughout all that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do you reckon they use cardboard beds?
Probably not.
No. Then you can just chuck them away after. They're reusable. Yeah. They don't bother you with cardboard beds. They just get out a bin bag, cut the bin bag in half, and lay out on the floor. There you go. Oh, Jesus.
Simple.
This is.
They don't have the time. They've got people to get to. They don't have time to replace their bed. They must be pretty. I guess maybe they're. Their rates are pretty good.
Well, are you interested? Maybe you should email them.
No, they're retired.
Maybe you can coax them out of retirement, Trot. Send a phone.
One final one. I'll make a documentary.
Called
Luther. It'd be very awkward.
What was the sequel to Meet the Fockers?
Meet the Fockers.
Well, no, wait, that was the sequel to Meet the Parents, wasn't it?
There was Meet the Parents, Meet the Fockers, and then there was like,
Little Fockers?
Little Fockers, yeah, I think it might have been.
Was that one?
They had kids, and then, yeah. And I think they then exhausted the Fockers franchise there.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was I never watched any of them, I will say.
Yeah. You didn't. I don't think you missed out, Trot, to be honest. Not really.
No, I mean, I miss out on a lot of films and TV shows, but that one is one I don't regret not seeing. But I will probably indulge in this spin-off version.
Yeah. Trot, this, twins. There's actually another story here, which I forgot I added this a few weeks ago, but it's quite interesting. It's the headline is China's Tencent turns to facial recognition to root out late-night child gamers. So they've Chinese tech giant Tencent has rolled out a facial recognition midnight patrol function to snag children masquerading as adults to get around a government curfew on underage gamers. China bans people under 18 from playing online games between 10 p.m. and 8 a.m. part of a raft of rules introduced to weed out the excesses of gaming culture among the youth, from worsening eyesight to online addiction. But many young players have navigated the restrictions by using gaming accounts registered by adults. Online gaming giant Tencent this week moved to close the loopholes by implementing facial verification checks on anyone playing with an adult ID after the curfew. Well, you know, like they have like loads of CCTV basically tracking where they are at all times in certain cities. I'm not sure if it's across China, but I think that's similar technology.
I think it largely is,
I
mean,
you can actually pay for things at vending machines with it, right? So you can just look up a camera, and that pays for it off your account. You're then basically logged into a system.
Yeah, I mean, you can do that. We do that with Apple Pay, don't we?
Sure.
We're using our face to verify a payment each time.
Yeah.
They're saying here is Tencent is this massive company, right, that have bought out loads of companies in the Western world.
Yeah.
And what it's saying to me here is they have that technology to implement into any device that has, you know, that technology in it. And that's kind of scary. And also, how do you know? What if someone has just a really youthful face?
Must just be tracked to an account, right? So, you know, if your face matches an account, then maybe you just put a mask on when you're about to game. That's, I guess, the other solution.
If it tracks it the way that
you know, iPhones do, then maybe it doesn't work because it needs 3D.
Just put a sticker over the camera.
Yeah.
Right. It feels like one of these steps that they've taken for like, oh, that's good that they're doing that. But in reality, the implementation of it is just like almost impossible because it's
showing that they're publicly willing to share that they have that technology.
Mm. Yeah.
What are they not willing to share? You know, basically, what are they doing behind the scenes?
There are a few interesting documentaries about how they track people in China. It's quite interesting on YouTube as well.
Terrifying,
if you are interested,
I imagine.
Check them out. But it is interesting how, like, even if you jaywalk and stuff, they have like screens that come up with your face and they like kind of try to publicly shame you for like committing small crimes and stuff, which that would be considered as an offense.
Imagine
so
just living you say, in oh, my fear face. Like that.
But the thing is, like, would you like? It depends on whether you actually were fined or like imprisoned for like jaywalking. If you were just like, oh, look, my face is up there because I just walked on the road for like a second.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, more people would probably think it was quite a funny thing. You'd be like, oh, look, there I am, wee. But then maybe that's just British humor. I don't know. That would be
what is
really
that classic
freaky, though, wouldn't
dystopic
it?
Movie that we did in 1984? Film theory at uni.
Oh.
The Orwellian
1984.
Yeah, I think it's that. This feels like that.
It is.
You know,
where
it's this overruling technology that's just like forcing people to walk in lines and like conform and not have emotion and it's like Equilibrium but without the gun cutter.
Yeah. Does that mean that But that is a worry for a lot of people when it comes to like things like vaccine passports and kind of giving the government your data and, you know, with technology now, obviously, you know, facial recognition technology for just unlocking your phone is really useful for us. But ultimately, if that could spell something like this in the future, who knows? But I wouldn't want that.
It's kind of scary how you can gently manipulate a society to like slowly accept these things as the norm. And I think
if you make it convenient enough and make it kind of like appeal as if it's like something you want, you know, you're like, it's like, oh, you know, you don't have to take out your wallet. You don't have to walk out with anything. Your face is now your payment method. Like, that is either worrying because, you know, what if somebody could somehow, you know, do a, you know, was it Minority Report where he changes the shape of his face? What if you could just get plastic surgery as some, you know, as, you know, Jeff Bezos and just wander around just like, yeah, I'm buying everything just my Jeff Bezos. Obviously you'd be screwed because you look like Jeff Bezos, but
there seems to be this the transformation's gone a bit weird, and in the top of my head there's this like groove right in the middle, so I look like a penis.
I look a little bit like a penis, but
even more like a
billionaire in this country.
Oh, where I've got this really cool cowboy hat on.
Oh, we didn't cover that he did his launch as well, because obviously Richard Branson did his launch not too long ago, but Jeffrey Bezos,
the big billionaire dick throwing contest,
giant penis in the sky. It all went well, which I guess is all right.
Brilliant. Let's unlock
there
that
was a part of me
Amazon's
kind of hoping that something crazy would happen, you know, just why not?
It's because we didn't get the petitions high enough on the whole leave him in space thing. We didn't get to 200,000. I, as much as I admire all the technology that goes into it, it's really frustrating that that's their focus, and that, you know, it's just a big, like, they did it within weeks of each other, so they were clearly competing to be like the first into space.
Definitely.
And it's not really contributing much to society other than more money for those companies.
Well, the technological development, whilst it wasn't as, I mean, it's pretty amazing that we can land rockets now. Let's hope some good things come out. I know what you're saying. Cool. I don't disagree with what you're saying. I guess the one thing you'd hope is that the technology and the people and the thinkers that come out of this process will benefit us all. Hopefully,
I get it. They want to go to space, and fixing the climate is not fun, but I think the priority should be elsewhere right now. if you have the money to do so and the means.
Yeah.
People would love you way more, but I don't think he cares about people loving him. I think he just cares about his life and his lifestyle.
He might think he's in a simulation. I mean, who wouldn't? If you were the most powerful, rich person on the planet, you'd probably think it's pretty unreal, all of it. It's pretty unreal.
He's probably surrounded by yes men in any way, and he probably gets bigged up on a daily basis. Of course, like, you're the best guy in the world. Mm. Like, you've made it, man.
Oh, that would be so shit, though, wouldn't it? Just everyone groveling at your feet. You wouldn't have any kind of genuine relationships with anyone. Why you had a divorce recently.
And thus you get disconnected from society, and you can see where it goes, where, like, you can't trust anyone. All you care about is yourself and your own ego and sending your big dick into orbit. Literally.
God, it looked it was so phallic, though, wasn't it? Like, I mean, there's phallic in this. That ship. That was... I saw the meme, like, the day after, which was the Austin Powers joke of, like...
I'll get that.
Because, you know, Dr. Evil's giant dick ship. Or, no, it was...
Mr. Johnson. Dr. Evil. Dr. Evil.
Yeah, but what was his ship? It was like... it was actually a character, or like a donut. The one that holds a donut.
Oh,
it
was the...
But it was shaped like a penis, either way.
It was the donut guy, right? The donut boy. Whatever his name is. The dough boy.
But yeah, the sequence is so funny. Just like, hey, what's that up there? It looks like a giant... Johnson, have you got those reports for me? And it's a great clip.
Wieners, who wants wieners?
Wieners, get your wieners. Holy shit, that looks like a giant dick. Have you got that? Yeah, it's just, it's really good.
Yeah.
I love that. But his giant penis was ridiculous. And I was kind of very much hoping something would go wrong. Just a little bit, just so that he was a little bit shaken up, you know? So it wouldn't just at a perfect launch, just a little bit of like a, you know, scare the shit out of him a little bit before he landed. One of the parachutes has gone out. Oh my God, I'm going to die a billionaire.
I mean, we barely got to see him, but in that window, it looked like he was gripping onto that handle for dear life.
Yeah.
At least.
Well, there's a clip of them inside the ship where they were like throwing Skittles to each other. Like, in obviously Zero G, he's like, hey, open wide, and he just threw a skill, and then he managed to catch it, and it's just like, oh, cool.
Open wide!
But they were obviously in such a quite a small, tight, you know, capsule.
Confines.
So there's not a lot of space.
Bit.
Yeah.
If you can see the visual.
So they're just awkwardly bumping around, like, oh, man, this is so cool, like, and then throwing ping pong balls around.
Have they released footage of inside yet?
They have, It's just a clip of him throwing ping pong balls around and, like, catching skills in his mouth. Yeah, so there you go.
Cute. Very cute. Very so cute. Humanizing.
So cute.
Anyway, do you know what humanizes me the most? Knowing that there's people out there willing to listen to us ramble for a good 47 minutes and 38 seconds. Thank you very much to all our supporters for listening to us on your various platforms. In particular, big thanks to our Patreon supporters who provide us with the poll answers of which hypothetical to choose. So have a look there if you want to have an influence on what we talk about next week. I'll put a new poll up with three new questions. If you have ideas for questions as well, feel free to email us hatchat@hat-films.com. Maybe you're the lead singer of King Crimson and All the Sun provided a fingal. Confirmed, by the way.
Is your dad famous? Very cool. That's what we're asking.
Is your dad famous? Email us. let us know. And also, if you have a fingal, if you're musically minded, much like our wonderful Ed Hodge today, then send a fingal in. We need some more, actually, so please send them in. Thank you.
Fingalists.
And with that, we are ending our weekly podcast, and we hope to see you all next Friday for some more Hat Chat. Take it away, Ed Hodge. Goodbye, everyone.